Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost, and we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Suggested.
Hello, hello, and hello. Welcome. Oh, wait, our audience has got a clap.
What happened to your audience here?
I had to downgrade trucks, and now I'm in a day cab, so I could only fit one person in here, so we have one person in our audience. Yeah, usually we get, oh, here, wait a minute, let me step outside. There they are, there they are. I just had the one person here is my audience in the truck, but the audience is standing outside right now in the cold Illinois weather.
Really,
I got my windows rolled down.
You must be parked in a really
What's
big
that?
Place. You must be parked in a really big place, like a stadium or something.
No, it's a truck stop, a sizable truck stop. They blocked off an area just for the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Since we are worldwide, 60% of our listeners are in the United States, 30% are in Canada, and the rest of them are all across this great world of ours, Australia and New Zealand and all over the place. And we sure appreciate everyone listening in to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Anyways, I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I am here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight, my brother?
You know what? I'm bundling up. Tonight's going to be my first night going below freezing this season. So, you know, yay Minnesota.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You're in Minnesota where I'm from, and I'm in Illinois where you're from. Yeah. Yeah, that's just how it goes. That's trucking, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we have a very, very, how do I put it, sombering show lined up. We do have special guest Daryl Gibbs, who's running for Lieutenant Governor of the state of Colorado. He will be joining us live. And we also have on his friend Annette. She will be joining us live. And the topic of discussion tonight is going to be the vaccines and injuries and or deaths that the vaccine has caused. This week, one of the Pfizer directors were caught on live tape in front of the European Parliament, admitting that there was no testing of the vaccines on preventing transmission. So any of you that have gotten the vaccine or known people that have gotten the vaccine know that they forced that down upon your throat. They gaslit you. They did everything in their power to force you into getting that vaccine. And it was never tested for the preventing of transmission. So, just so you know, that was...
You'd have been better off taking a sugar pill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have articles that we're going to read from tonight, including one from Florida's Surgeon General, who was banned off of, well, not banned, but restricted on Twitter. They did later restore his tweet, but they got scared of it right away. We're going to give you all those numbers tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We have nothing to hide, and we feel that it's necessary to get the truth out there about not just this subject, but every subject that we find the truth about. And you can believe us. You don't have to believe us. And if you think we're full of shit, you can literally go and research this stuff for yourself and find out that, hey, we actually did our due diligence and researched some of this stuff, and we're just trying to spread the truth. That's it. Before we get to that, though, me and Chris talked, I don't know, a couple weeks ago about just reading headlines. And then we'll probably discuss the headlines in other shows. Not tonight. I just want you to get a gist of what the headlines are coming out of the Gateway Pundit. And the reason I chose the Gateway Pundit, Google and all them, they consider them a right-wing news outlet. Well, we explained this a couple weeks ago that the Gateway Pundit actually did a story about me the first time I got banned off of TikTok. And my thoughts on that is if they're willing to do a truthful story about little old me, a popular TikToker that gets banned, that tells me that they're interested in the truth, because I read the article and everything they said about me and why I got banned was very truthful. I got banned for fake reasons from TikTok. They said I was violating their community standards, which was not the case. I was just sharing what I was involved with, and they didn't like it. I was peacefully protesting in my truck, shutting my truck off and parking my truck and refusing to drive or haul loads for, I think I was down for 13 days that time, in protest. And they said that I was promoting dangerous activity. They banned me for it. And now I'm on the radar. I've been banned 8 times. But that's why we choose Gateway Pundit, because I believe them to be pretty truthful. So the headlines this week, ladies and gentlemen, before we get to our guests, who, again, is Daryl Gibbs, and his who's running for Lieutenant Governor of the state of Colorado, and his friend Annette. She's going to join us and share her story about injuries received from the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine. So up first is headline breaking. January 6th committee unanimously votes to subpoena Trump. Well, I'm going to give just a really short thought on that, and I'm going to throw it over to Chris for a really short thought. We're not going to get too deep into it. My thought on that is January 6th is a kangaroo court, and it's basically a bunch of people that hate Trump. That's your court. That's the January 6th committee. Chris?
Yeah, I don't even really know that Congress actually has the authority to subpoena or enforce subpoena. The whole idea of the separation of powers is that that would kind of fall under the jurisdiction of the executive branch, so the Department of Justice. You know, they're the ones charged with the responsibility of, you know, filing subpoenas, issuing summons, obtaining indictments, and for actually enforcing the law, right? And that's not the job of the legislative branch. The job of the legislative branch is, of course, to debate and to draft our legislation, hence the name the legislative branch. And
no,
so
I just want to get through the headlines, Chris, and just throw like a two-sentencer in there of what we think about it, because tonight we don't really have the time to get into a deeper discussion about each one of these, because there's like seven of them I wanted to get through.
Right.
Not trying to interrupt you, my friend. I apologize if I did that. I just kind of – tonight, this is what we're going to do, though, in the future. We're going to dedicate shows to – getting in depth of these headlines, reading the stories, and sharing our thoughts about it. But go ahead, Chris, and finish your thought on that one, if you would.
Pelosi sucks.
Perfect.
Is that short enough?
The second headline, yes, that's perfect. The second one is President Trump loves the idea of testifying before sham January 6th committee per source close to the president. And you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing this too. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think you'll keep it entertaining, if nothing else.
Yeah. The third headline today is FBI was court-ordered to turn over documents on Seth Rich 14 days ago. For some reason, they are refusing that request. Why is that? Well, I can tell you why. And I believe is because the FBI is covering for Hillary Clinton. There's my thoughts on that. Chris?
Yeah, FBI, Gestapo, SS, whatever they're going by these days. We know they're corrupt. We know they are nothing but political weapons. So, you know, nothing surprises me there.
And the fourth one is another breaking news story that Twitter says in a court filing that feds are investigating Elon Musk in regards to Twitter acquisition. My thoughts on that is Twitter has not been forthright about their bot accounts, and this will be another interesting story to follow along on. Chris?
Yeah, I that's one of those where what exactly does that headline mean? You know, and which bet? You know, are we talking about the Securities and Exchange Commission? Are they investigating Elon Musk, or are they investigating Twitter? You know, they make everything sound like somebody's getting ready to get shackled up in prison. And I don't think that's probably the case here.
Yeah. We got two more before we get to our headlines for tonight, and that is vaccine injured and deaths from the COVID-19 vaccine. I did want to bring this one for sure, and then the second one. There's an update. The shooter dressed in camo terrorizes East Raleigh neighborhood. Off-duty police officer killed, multiple people dead. That was breaking news at 5:10 p.m. tonight. We're going to be looking into that, obviously, a little bit more and have an update on that hopefully later in the show or next week on our Thursday night show. But I did see some headlines on Twitter of people responding to that, you know, blaming the AR-15 when, in fact, this guy apparently was he had a shotgun. So that's a whole other debate about the AR-15 coming up in the near future. What's your take on that headline, Chris?
Well, you know, anything that goes bang, bang is an AR-15 in liberal lexicon. So, of course, they're going to get mad at the AR-15. You know, that's like asking to ban all BP gasoline because there's an arson problem and not recognizing that there's Shell and Mobil and everybody else out there. It just it makes no sense.
Yeah. The last one I'm going to address before we get into the main subject is there's a professor at the Catholic Notre Dame, whatever you want to call it, university, allegedly offering to help students seeking abortions, calls those who disagree white nationalist Catholic hate groups. My thought on that, just the headline alone without reading the story, excuse me, is this is a perfect example of a far-left liberal that if you do not agree with their mentality or what their agenda is, you're a racist or you're an extremist or you're a domestic terrorist. And I, for one, give a professor at the Catholic Notre Dame University my big number one salute, which is the middle finger. I respect your right to the First Amendment, but I do not respect your right to be authoritarian and try to shove your shitty beliefs down my throat. Chris, what's your thoughts on that headline?
Well, if you hate Catholics, why in the hell would you go to work for Notre Dame? Pun intended. That would be like me going to work for the FMCSA.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to choke you up there.
My coughing fits. Oh, my God. Everything is just so, like, what happened? What happened with our country? Where did this extremism come from? And we're called the extremists. It baffles me, honestly.
I don't understand going to work for a Catholic university if you hate Catholics. That just blows my mind.
Good Lord, man. Okay, I do see that we have Annette on the line. I'm just we're waiting on Daryl to get on, and then we'll bring both of them on about the same time. But again, let me just recap what our show is about tonight. Because I know there's a lot of people listening that were very excited to hear that somebody's actually going to talk about this uncensored. And I'll just be the first one to tell you, I don't care, dude. I'm going to tell you the truth. I have no reason to lie to you. I'm not going to financially gain off of it. The truth is important. And we get so many lies and propaganda shoved down our throat from the mainstream media and our own politicians that it makes me sick. And there's people out there that know the truth, and we are here to tell you the truth. And, you know, thank you to Unplug 7 for giving us this platform and allowing us to get that truth out there. It's very important that people like Unplug 7, you know, the radio organization, allow us to come on here and say whatever we want to say uncensored to make sure that we can get the truth out there. So before we get Annette and Daryl on the line, let me just take a quick one-minute break just to catch my coughing fit that I had there briefly. I don't want to interrupt the show again. I'm just going to play a few words from our sponsors and just let you know that these sponsors Unplug 7 Radio Network. They don't necessarily hold our views or our opinions, but nonetheless, they're good people. So without further ado, we'll be back in about 1 minute.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Olsnot new.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's Bull Snot. Bull Snot sells phenomenal product for your truck, car, home. I use their product all the time, their windshield cleaner, their dash cleaner, their wax, phenomenal stuff. And I recently just started using Trucker Tools, where you can get on that app. And it's an all-inclusive one, all-in-one app. Like, I can find loads on there. I can find a truck stop. I can plan my trip. For you truckers out there, it's phenomenal. Go. That's truckertools.com. You got to check them out. Chris, where is that soundbite I told you I wanted to use earlier, but I can't find it, and it's driving me freaking nuts because I see Daryl's on here now and Annette's on here. There's a special soundbite I wanted to use. Because it's just me too. Just hold on here, ladies and gentlemen. Just hold on. Okay, you do got it? Okay, good. Yeah. Before we introduce Daryl and Annette tonight, the reason I wanted to use this sound bite is because it deserves a very large round of applause, bigger than the ones that we could give her. We were able to get a hold of Kamala Harris, and she was gracious enough to get a hold of us back, her people, and she is actually on the phone right now. And we are going to bring Kamala Harris on and introduce her first before we bring on Daryl and Annette. So without further ado, Kamala Harris, welcome to the Disrespectful Truck Radio Show. Shit. I think we're talking about a bad time, Chris. Chris, I think we're talking about a bad time. Get her out of here. Get her out of here. Shut her down. Shut her down.
Yeah, no, that was a campaign contributor, so I went ahead and cut away.
Okay, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes, her campaign, they forgot that, or we forgot that they're coming on at 7:30, and we added her phone online a little bit too soon. Sorry about that. That won't happen again. But with that, so Kamala Harris is obviously not going to join us tonight. She's busy. I don't know if it's with Joe Biden or whoever, but whatever. She's busy. So without further ado, let's bring on Daryl and Annette at the same time. I will introduce Daryl first, and then we'll go right over to Annette. And I promise you, these are real people, and you won't get that kind of a soundbite from them. Daryl Gibbs is running for the state of Colorado. He's running for lieutenant governor. Daryl, how are you doing tonight, my brother?
Oh, my man, I am doing good. How you doing?
We're
can
good, man. It's good to have you on. Yep. Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh,
perfect.
Heck yeah, it's good to be on. And you're right, I ain't ordinary, not even close. and I like that. And hey, like that Kama Lama 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 Ding Dong thing you did, because yeah, that woman's. But matter of fact, that was, I'd rather hear that than her hyena laugh. So there you go.
And that's why we have the soundbite, man. let me just get to the audience, and well, before I get to that, let me just let you guys know, Daryl and Annette. I'll introduce Annette here shortly. We do have like a 1 to 2 second delay between when people talk. So if you like pause in your speech or what you're talking about, and somebody starts jumping into talking, they're not trying to interrupt you. It's that stupid delay that we have, and it kind of messes things up. We just have to work with it the best we can. First of all, yes, this is Daryl Gibbs. He's running for the lieutenant governor of the state of Colorado. And who is running for governor? Who is your running mate, Daryl?
My running mate is Danielle Neuschlinger. She's running for governor. And
Danielle Neuschlinger.
Yep, Danielle Neuschlinger. You want me to spell that? Because that's a long name.
I was just worried about pronouncing it right. I don't know if you should spell it on air because that'll really confuse the hell out of people. But her name is Danielle, and you guys
yep.
are running under what party?
American Constitutional Party.
Okay. You guys were both a part of the GOP from the beginning, from what I understand?
Yep, that's correct. 100% was.
Yep. Yeah, so, and Daryl is a proud black man from the from Colorado, the great state of Colorado, who grew up in Illinois, the state that I'm actually in right now. And Danielle is a proud white woman that grew up in the great state of Colorado. And I checked over their profiles and stuff, and I tell you what, everybody talks about Republican and Democrat and how they're sick of the two-party system and the corruption and this and that. You have a choice. You have a choice to make things different. In Colorado right now, you have a very big choice to make. Do you want to continue on with the shenanigans with the two-party system? And you, if you don't vote Republican, then a Democrat's going to get in. And if you don't vote Democrat, then a Republican's going to get in. What if you all just voted for your conscience and your heart, and you voted for two people that you believed in, like Daryl and Danielle? Wow, all of a sudden you could make a positive change and no more two-party system. You could start it off in the state of Colorado. You could start off a movement voting for Daryl and Danielle in Colorado. I also want to introduce our special guest also tonight. Her name is Annette. And Annette, I have never talked to Annette, and she wanted to come on here and share her story tonight. And I was more than happy to have her. Who she happens to be a friend of Daryl's. Annette, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I am very fine. It's an honor to have you on here tonight also. Our topic of discussion tonight, obviously, is vaccine injuries and deaths from the COVID-19 vaccine. And I don't want to sit in excuse my language, but pussyfoot around. I want to get right to the point of things. So, Annette, I'm going to start right with you. What made you compelled to come on the Disrespected Trucker radio show tonight and tell your story? And what is your story?
Well, first of all, Daryl is a very good friend of mine. I've known him for a very long time, and I am very much so backing him on the ballot there. So please, everybody, if you know people in Colorado, please get the word out. They're online, and you can find all their information. Second of all, he thought that it was very important that I let people know what happened to me because I'm not the only one that it has happened to, and there are a lot of stories out there that can even be even more severe than what mine could have been. So I just felt like people did need to know what happened. So if you want me to just tell my story, I can go ahead.
Absolutely. Why don't you start out from the very beginning of when they started pushing really hard the COVID-19 vaccine and what profession you were in and what happened that transpired to, well, today, throughout that time period, what happened? Start from the very beginning.
Okay, so I am actually in the medical field. I am a medical coder. I am remote, and I work from home. The hospital and or clinics that I worked for were in the Colorado Mountains, so I'm nowhere near the clinic or patients. So when they mandated the vaccine for us, I did not want to get it because I have severe allergies. Like really severe, like life-threatening allergies. So I figured there had not been enough testing or research on this vaccine, and I was very apprehensive to take this vaccine. I did not want to take it because I am basically allergic to myself sometimes. So I talked to my supervisor about it, and I went ahead and told her my medical conditions, even though I really didn't feel comfortable doing that. I addressed it with her because I didn't want the vaccine. And she said, well, there's an exemption form available, but you have to fill it out, and it has to go through the powers that be. for that in order to be granted or accepted. So I asked for the form. I got the form. And on the form, basically, it gave like 10 bullet points, and it said, you are not exempt if. And some of the points, I try to get a hold of the form, but I don't have it in front of me. But I do remember that one of them was, if you have an autoimmune disorder, you are not exempt. If you are pregnant, you are not exempt. If you have a current acute illness, you are not exempt. If you have a chronic condition, you are not exempt. So the bullet points went on, and at the very bottom, it said, if you are allergic to the components of COVID-19 vaccine, is basically the only way you could be exempt from receiving the vaccine. Question was, well, how do I know if I'm allergic if this vaccine is brand new and we don't even know what's in it? And that brings another concern. I'm putting some foreign substance in my body with my chronic allergy situation, and I was very scared. I was very scared to get the vaccine. So at that point, it pretty much stated that I didn't qualify for an exemption. And the religious exemption probably wouldn't qualify for that either because I'm Catholic. So I figured, well, there goes that. And being the honest person that I am, I wasn't going to say that I was a different religion just for the exemption. So I talked to my sister because she is a medical assistant at a clinic in my current town. And we decided, okay, I'm going to get the vaccine, but I'm going to do it at the clinic just in case. So I go in to get the first vaccine. The nurses know, so they're monitoring me. And they think, okay, she'll be fine. They give me the vaccine. About 3 minutes in, I'm okay. About the fourth minute in, I start feeling my throat getting tight, my tongue swelling. The roof of my mouth was numb. And at that point, I started panicking because I just knew in my heart that something was going to happen. At that point, the nurse came in to check on me, and she saw that I was having issues. So they started to administer Benadryl first, gave me 3 doses of Benadryl, and said if that does not help the situation, they're going to have to give me Epi. So didn't help the situation. They gave me Epi. I was at the clinic for 3 hours. At that point, they said, if this Epi doesn't help the first dose, we're going to send you to the hospital, and you're going to have to get a second dose. Luckily for me, the first round helped, so I was able to get the swelling down, breathe, and get back to normal. But I was ill for about a week after that. About a good week. I just didn't feel myself. I just felt sick. So come to 2 weeks later, go to get the second round, because I told my employer this is what happened, and they're like, well, is it documented? Did the doctor document that you were allergic to the vaccine? And I said, no, they didn't document that I'm allergic because there's not really a way to prove that. I had a reaction, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's an allergy in clinical terms. So here I go for the second vaccine, take Benadryl ahead of time, take 2 doses, go get the vaccine. 30 minutes in, I'm still okay. So nurse says, you can go. I leave. 9 o'clock that night, same reaction. Roof of my mouth is numb. Tongue starts swelling. Throat starts going closed. Luckily for me, I was with my sister. She had my Epi. We did some Benadryl, did some Epi, and then I went back to normal. And that's pretty much my story.
And how is things going today? Are you back to living a normal life, so to speak?
No. So August 16th, I was diagnosed with COVID-19. I was sick for 3 weeks straight, like in bed, sick, cannot function, cannot move. So apparently the vaccine didn't help is what I'm thinking. And some people say, oh, well, it could have been worse. Well, I don't think it could have been much worse because I did have to go to the hospital and receive some.
Well, that's a liberal talking point, that if you take the vaccine, it prevents you from being hospitalized or it prevents you from being sick. That was the whole narrative that was spread by the mainstream media and by your politicians. It's funny. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not funny, but the fact that you brought that up, that you were twice vaccinated, and then you caught COVID-19 and you were sick, sick, sick. This week, a Pfizer executive admitted in front of a European, the European Parliament, that the Pfizer vaccine, there was no testing done on that vaccine on preventing transmission. No studies.
Nope.
So basically what they did is they come up with this mRNA technology, which is a gene-altering technology. It's an experiment. But they call it a COVID-19 vaccine. And they forced it upon mainly our healthcare workers, our law enforcement, fire departments, EMS, teachers, military, federal contracted employees. They forced this upon them. And they forced it upon people that were living in border states in Canada and United States, like Minnesota, North Dakota, Wyoming, or Montana, you know, on down the line, where you had to be vaccinated to see your family members across the border. That's what they did. They forced this upon people. And when I heard that the Pfizer executive admitted that there was no testing on this vaccine on prevention of transmission, what does that tell you? That they forced something down the throat of not only the American people, not only the Canadian people or Australian people, they forced this vaccine down the throats of the whole world. Australia was in lockdown, which was horrible. Shanghai, China, in China, was in a lockdown that was horrible. United States didn't have it nearly as bad, but Canada, Justin Trudeau up in Canada, that guy's excuse my language, but he's a fucking tyrant. That what they did to the Canadian people, wouldn't let them see family members. They were locked in their homes. They couldn't go anywhere. In America, they shut down small businesses. They shut down restaurants, bars, coffee shops, what have you. But they kept open Walmarts. They kept open grocery stores, liquor stores. Like, you could literally walk in. Yeah, I remember walking into a Walmart at that time. That was when I still shopped at Walmart. I refused to spend a penny over there anymore. But I remember walking into a Walmart, and there'd be people congregated with their masks on, haven't seen each other because churches were shut down also, and they wanted a little social activity. And Walmart was the place to go. Don't you forget, ladies and gentlemen, what these politicians and the mainstream media have done to you. They've ruined lives and they've killed people.
Yep.
Because one of the official treatments for COVID-19 was remdesivir. There was a study done in the Congo on the Ebola virus where remdesivir was administered. 33% of those people died from major kidney failure and other major organ failure because of remdesivir. And they made it the official treatment, one of the official treatments here in the United States. There was two things that would have treated COVID-19. Those happen to be hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And the mainstream media come out and call it, oh, my God, you're going to take horse paste. And they took a picture of horse medicine that has ivermectin. Did you know that the person that created ivermectin, and I'm going to let Chris finish this segment, explain ivermectin, Chris, because I know you're very well versed with the ivermectin human form. So I want Chris to talk about the ivermectin, and then we'll carry on. So, Chris, go ahead.
All right. I don't have the name off the top of my head, but the person who developed the ivermectin won the Nobel Peace Prize for it in 2015. It was for the treatment of malaria, which is also an upper respiratory illness like COVID. Which is why it makes sense that you would use ivermectin to treat your upper respiratory illness. But like many drugs, it also does come in larger doses for larger mammals like horses. So, yeah, it does get used on horses. That doesn't mean it's specifically a horse medication. So that of course, was a little bit of trickery and a play on words by the mainstream media. But it's interesting because the only way you can have an emergency use authorization on something like a vaccine, for example, is if there are no available treatments for the ailment, okay? So, HCQ got shut down. Ivermectin got shut down. The emergency use authorization moved forward. Ivermectin is also very readily available in a very, very cheap pharmaceutical to produce. So, you know, was there some profit motive there? Perhaps.
Yes.
I have another comment, if you have a minute.
Absolutely, Annette.
So, rewind a little bit. So, when I got the first vaccine, well, let me rewind before that. Because of my allergies, they were trying to figure out if I had also rheumatoid arthritis. So I was actually on hydroxychloroquine in the very beginning of 2020. So 2021 is when they mandated this vaccine for us. And that's when I got, and then I got COVID, the actual COVID-19, in this year, August of this year. But it's kind of ironic how I was well the whole entire time until I got the vaccine. And I was on hydroxychloroquine at the time. So to me, it's just ironic. And then I ended up quitting that job because they were going to mandate the booster. And I was like, well, I just had anaphylaxis twice, and it wasn't pleasant. So I don't think I'll be working here anymore.
So let me ask you a question.
Job.
Is that Daryl? Go ahead. Well, you wanted to say something?
My thing also, when they're talking about these shots and stuff, how come we're not talking about good health? How come we're not talking about taking vitamin C, zinc, D3? Those are the three vitamins that are used to take care of infections in your body and helps your immune system. Because I end up coming down with COVID-19. And the only reason I came down with it, my body was fighting it off, is just unfortunately I was stuck in a trailer for 12 hours chipping away distilled grain called DDG. And the stuff got – I was wearing a N95 mask, quote-unquote, an N95 mask. And it got all over the mask. Some of it got inside. That tells you how good these masks are from keeping COVID away from you when it doesn't work. But anyway – got inside, and then later on, I end up having my lungs end up getting infected because of the inhalation, a large inhalation of DDG. Well, then of course my immune system is compromised a little bit, and then they say, well, you have COVID-19. Okay, fine, let's take care of it. So you know, I end up going to the hospital, you know, stayed at the hospital for a little bit. It wasn't for COVID-19; it was because my lungs was inflamed from the inhalation of DDG. So after later on, after I get home and things, you know, I started doing some research. And a friend of mine who's a representative in Alaska, he was telling me, he said, check out this seminar that we do in Alaska dealing with COVID-19. So I'm sitting there looking at it and listening to all these doctors, what they're talking about, and they're saying, you know, how come no one's doing vitamins? And they mentioned the three vitamins. So I'm like, you know what, let me try it. I've been doing it ever since. I haven't got sick. And then, unfortunately, because I am in the military, you know, I fought for the religious exemption. And, of course, they didn't hardly get anybody a religion exemption. I guess it was more to cross their I's and dot their T's. And then, you know, so I ended up taking the JJ shot. But I continue, even today, continuing to take these my supplements that have the three vitamins in it. And there was one day, you know, I had a report for duty, and they said you can't show up until you go test. So I think they're thinking, well, hey, he's going to show up positive because I don't wear a mask, don't want to wear a mask. I think it's is useless and doesn't work. And I made myself clear. I don't wear a mask. I'll go out to the airport. I'll walk around the airport without a mask on. And end up doing the test. And what? And one of the things about these home tests, and this is, you know, the military doctor, she gave it to me, and she's just like, you have to follow it to the T, because if you don't, it will not give you a correct reading. So I watched her, because she did the directions. I watched her. She did everything like she's supposed to do, everything. Went on, weighed it, came up. Don't you know I tested negative? Everybody's thinking I was going to test positive. Then all of a sudden everybody's like, hey, what is it that you're taking? We have these vitamins that will help your immune system, and it's the system that God gave you, because guess what? You don't have to get a shot. It doesn't fail you. It doesn't do this and that, because we're constantly getting booster shots. Why? We're on booster number what? So many? We're past five? How many boosters do we have to go before people start saying, you know what, this does not work? Because it does not. And like my friend Annette, the things that she went through, there was like she said, there's other people that went through worse. Now, imagine that, gone through worse. What she went through was freaking scary. She told me about it. I was scared. And you have other people that went through worse, and then you have kids come up with myocardium?
I do believe that Dr. Fauci has come out and said that more than likely we'll have to take a booster every 6 months for the rest of our lives if you've had the quote-unquote vaccine. Before we continue, just let me say to those of you that are listening, if you or you know somebody, if it's happened to you or you know somebody it's happened to, a loved one, and you want to share your story, you're more than welcome to come on air. We will bring you on air, and we'll leave Annette and Daryl live on air with us. And I can give you that phone number.
I have another story for you.
Yep, let me give the guest call-in number first, Annette, if you don't mind, and then we'll go to your story. And then I do want to read something from the Defender, the Children's Health Defense, an article that I found dated 9/2/22. But back to the phone number, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening and you want to get on here and you want to call in, that phone number is 516-387-1733. And if you call into our switchboard, make sure that you press 1 once you get connected. That lets my switchboard know that you want to get on air, and we will bring you on air. I promise you that. In case you didn't have a pen and paper ready or handy, just type this into your phone like you're making a phone call. Just get your phone out right now, push call, and punch in this number, 516. That's 516-387-1733. Make that phone call. That brings you right over to our switchboard. Press the number 1 once you get connected. That lets me know you want to get on air and share your story. So you're more than welcome. I'll share that number later on in our show again. And we would be glad to have you on so you can share your story. But Annette, you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
I did. So I got the Pfizer vaccine. My nephew got the J&J. My nephew's a college student, and he was required to get it for school. So he got the vaccine, and a few days later, he started getting fainting spells. So one day, he was going to go to lunch with his mom, my sister, and he said, I need to go to the bathroom. And they were at Village Inn. He went into the bathroom, and then he didn't come out. So my sister started to go look for him, and then he's coming out of the bathroom. He's like, we have to go now. I just passed out, and I don't even know how long I've been out. So she took him to the emergency room, and they did an EKG right away. And they said that everything was normal, and they couldn't figure out why he was passing out. So fast forward a couple of weeks, it kept happening. Like maybe once a week it was happening. Until one day he went to lunch with one of his friends, and he was coming home, and he was taking a back road and not a busy road, and he passed out while he was driving, and he was in a car accident. And that scared us. So he has to go see neurology. He's in the process of trying to figure out why that's happening, but it never happened until he got the vaccine. So we don't know if it's coincidental or if it was something in the vaccine.
Well, and that's a story that I've been hearing a lot of all over. I've talked to numerous people unrelated to the vaccine, the treatment with remdesivir. I've talked to dozens and dozens and dozens of people that lost loved ones because of remdesivir being administered to their loved one, and they died of either renal failure or other major kidney or major organ failure. I want to get to this article while I have you guys on here, because I do kind of want to go around the room and I want to hear what everybody's thoughts are, Chris's, mine, Annette's, and Daryl's. And again, if you want to call in and share your story, we will stop the conversation and allow you to share your story. It's only right. That phone number is 516-387-1733. So this story comes from The Defender, dated 9/2/22. This is Children's Health Defense. What is the cause of increased mortality rates? Emerging statistics on excess mortality rates paint an alarming picture. Far more people died in 2021 after the rollout of the COVID-19 shots and in 2022 than during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. So here's the story at a glance. The emerging statistics on excess mortality rates paint an alarming picture. I just read that to you. 2021 and 2022, then during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. Mainstream media are trying to divert your attention from the elephant in the room. Mass injection with experimental gene transfer technology to anything and everything but that. The Telegraph blames the unexplained excess deaths on lockdown effects. Many didn't have access to routine medical care during lockdowns and are now dying from chronic diseases that went untreated. I call bullshit. The UK Office for National Statistics data released on August 16th. That shows excess deaths in England and Wales were, as of August 5th, 14.4% higher than the five-year average, which works out to be 1,350 more deaths per week than normal. That's per week. A majority of these excess deaths were cardiovascular in nature, a primary adverse effect of the COVID-19 jabs. Now, listen to this one. In the U.S., we lost 349,000 younger Americans to something besides COVID-19 and non-natural death between April 3rd and August 13th. And that's not counting the tens of thousands of death records that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has inexplicably deleted. As much as 15 to 25% of the death reports that could indicate a COVID-19 jab death are missing. Other data show that during the fall of 2021, millennials aged 25 to 44 had an 84% increase in excess deaths. Now, I'm going to stop the article there, and I want to discuss this amongst us four. And anybody that's listening, if you want to call in and share your opinion. There's something that's killing people, especially 25 to 44-year-olds. They had an 84% increase in excess deaths. And recently the Florida Surgeon General came out and recommended that people in that age group not get the mRNA vaccine. And Twitter deleted his tweet because they call it a violation, spreading misinformation. But later they put that tweet back up. What's that tell you? The mainstream media, along with big tech, along with your government officials, are all trying to cover up for big pharma, who is putting money in each one of their pockets, including, in my opinion, BlackRock and Vanguard groups. Now, that's my opinion. I don't have any facts to back that up. I'm just giving you my opinion. And when I mention BlackRock and Vanguard, BlackRock owns $12.2 trillion in assets. It's a finance group. They literally run everything. PayPal. I mean, they influence everything. The World Economic Forum, they're partners with.
We've talked about this numerous times. There's a lot of things out there that I've talked about that makes you want to think that, wow, this Jeremy character on the Disrespected Trucker radio show sure has a big-ass tinfoil hat. No, I don't. The fact of the matter is I do my research and I read every frickin' article there is. When I sit for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours at a ship or a receiver, I have nothing but time. You, on the other hand, you folks on the, that are listening, you're busy running your kids to soccer, picking them up at football practice, going to get groceries, try to run your household. You get up at 6 in the morning, you go to work, you don't get home till 7 at night because you had so many errands to run. When you're home, you're exhausted, you want to go to bed. You want to keep your relationship with your husband or your wife special, and you try to have your intimate moments. You don't have time to research like a truck driver does. Everybody says, oh, you're just a dumb truck driver. You know what? The fact of the matter is, guys like me have the most time to research, and you probably should just pay just a little bit of attention to what we have to say. Now, that's just one article I found, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, let me ask you a question. With everything I just read there, what are your thoughts about those kind of statistical numbers that come out and obviously are not being disputed because their article's still up? Otherwise, they would have a big fact-checker label on there saying they're spreading misinformation. Give us your thoughts, Chris.
My first thought is, what kind of world are we living in where a computer nerd gets to tell a doctor to shut up? I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, go ahead. You know, call up to the Twitter headquarters and tell them you want to schedule yourself for an EKG and see what kind of response you get. This isn't a medical facility. Oh, okay. Well, then why are you silencing doctors? Because you have no – stay in your lane. You are a internet technology specialist. I don't want to hear your opinions on my cardiac condition because you don't know shit about it. I mean, that's first and foremost. You know, so who gets to decide? Experts in every field will have disagreements, okay? I think we can all say that military generals can be regarded as experts in their field of military and warcraft. You know, there was a famous general back in 1917 who was quoted as saying, airplanes make interesting toys, but they have no military value. Okay? Experts get it wrong. They get it wrong all the time. Who are people that aren't even in the related field to decide what's information, what's misinformation, and what's not? That's my opinion there.
Okay. Annette, why don't you go ahead and weigh in on what I just read?
Well, I'm with you on that.
Okay.
I mean,
Daryl, do you...
I see a lot of things.
Do you want to...
You know?
Okay, Daryl, did you want to share an opinion on what I just read there?
Yeah, what you just read, I mean, this is what's going on today. You know, you have Big Pharma also in bed with the hospitals, therefore in bed with everybody else. So now you have all these entities trying to tell you, the American people, or every people in the world, you know what, we don't want you to think, but yet we're going to continue to make you work two jobs and work so you work harder. So that way, and we'll cause all these distractions over here. So we'll look at you and say, hey, nothing's going on over here. When you have the teachers union and all these entities are saying this is bad, when you have other researchers that come up and says, you know what, the COVID shot does not work. You know what, it alters your DNA. You have kids that are dying. You have people that are dying. You have people that went from that was healthy or with a friend of mine I know, had dormant cancer drugs in them, got the shot, it got mutated. And usually when you get cancer, you go 1, 2, 3, 4. That's why they have those numbers. But when you go straight from healthy to 4, then that's telling you something. But yet we have all these things going on where no one wants to question anything because right now, because of COVID and the lockdowns, they have everybody sitting back thinking – to themselves, well, the government knows what they're doing, so let's believe in the government. But then when someone tried to talk some common sense into you because you say, here's the facts, this is the facts right here, it proves it, then they don't want to pay attention to you. So that's why you have people finally beginning to stand up and say what's going on, but yet because all this money has been created and they're trying to change the world so we can have a corporate ran crap like over in China and all that, they're trying their best to go ahead and change the world like that. So it's let's go ahead and scare people. Let's go ahead and give them this shot that doesn't do anything except for make you sicker and start dying, have people dying off. But you know what? We can get away with it. You know how? Because we have Twitter and all these other people that people listen to and TikTok, and we're going to tell them, even though in your face you see what's going on, no, you don't. What you're seeing isn't real. So just stay over here, and we'll give you some money, and we'll pat you on the head, make you feel good, but we don't want you to look at reality because we're going to hide reality from you. And that's the problem that we're having.
Yeah, no, and that's correct. And since Annette's in the medical field, I want to ask Annette a question about a chart. It's a particular concern, including the charts featuring Stark Post MMWR Week 14, 2021, rises in mortality. So when they say 5 plus sigma, do you know what that means?
Actually, no.
Okay. No, that's okay. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I'm trying to figure out what that means. I'm just going to read it to you, and those of you that are in the medical field could maybe explain this through our chat or call in even and explain this to our audience what this means. I'm assuming it's not good, obviously, but the phone number to call in is 516-387-1733. Here's what the rises in mortality. Excess non-COVID natural cause, a 5-plus sigma. Cancer and lymphomas, a 9-plus sigma. Other respiratory conditions, 2 sigma. Nephritis? And nephrotic syndrome, 4 sigma. Septicemia, 2 sigma. Listen, I'm a truck driver. I do get stats, and I do read a lot of stuff. Ask me to pronounce medical things. not so good, but I'll do my best. Heart diseases and ailments, 2 sigma. All other ICD, 10-tracked natural cause deaths, 4 sigma.
Yeah.
So it says, while there are indeed increases
in
deaths incumbent inside the other ICD-10 codes, those increases appeared to plausibly conform to their same arrival patterns for 2020 as well. In other words, they appear to be heavily COVID-related in their dynamics both before and after the week 14, 2021 inflection. So go ahead, Annette.
So I work with ICD-10 codes, and those are just codes that indicate what a condition is. It's a series of numbers and letters, and that's how they dictate what your condition is. So
okay.
I'm assuming the story that you read, that I'm assuming that it's like multiples of that many of that condition of people dying, multiples of that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just continue reading on from what I just read. Of particular concern are those deaths with which relate to body-wide regulatory systems as opposed to specific organs or causes. In other words, cancer and lymphomas, heart, autonomous, myocarditis, pericarditis, conductive disorders, injuries to the liver and kidneys, etc. These are not only the canaries in the coal mine in terms of pathology, but may serve to indicate as well that a pervasive systemic disruption is at play inside the average U.S. citizen human physiology, especially over the last 71 weeks. These are the death groups which exhibit the most stark trend of increase post-MMWR week 14, 2021. So basically what this article is saying is there's been an uptick, well, like you just explained, Annette, in those ailments that I put out there,
mm-hmm.
which we have heard, myocarditis, pericarditis, cardiac arrests, a lot of heart-related issues have popped up, especially in young athletes as of late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the fact checkers are working overtime on this because I read numerous articles on Google. Then I went over to DuckDuckGo, and I started reading articles over there. And it was a start. It was a huge difference because then I started almost getting like a little bit of the truth where it wasn't like fact checkers trying to discredit any claim. It was just articles that you could read and make up your own mind, think for yourself, so to speak, which I like. Now, I want to bring up something before I throw it over to Chris for a second. I want you all to realize something, that the owner or the CEO of Reuters News Network, the CEO, okay, now let me just rephrase that, or repeat it, I should say. The CEO of Reuters News Network, who's also a trusted fact checker, also sits on the board for Pfizer. Just so you all know that. Mm-hmm. There's your facts mm-hmm. for tonight. Now, when you get fact-checked over something about vaccines or medical things, and you've got the CEO of a major news network that sits on the board for Big Pharma, and you think you're getting the truth from these dirty bastards, you better start doing some critical thinking. And you better start thinking for yourself instead of watching your mainstream media. Chris, based on all the stuff you've heard thus far, I want to hear what you have to say because this gets really interesting. It gets really deep. And why don't you go ahead and why don't we get into your extended family and things that you have witnessed and have seen regarding the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine. And before Chris does that, I just want to remind my audience that I just had a 36-year-old cousin of mine, 36 years old, healthy. Yeah, he had ADHD. He was on Ritalin. But he passed away from a heart attack a month ago. His wife was downstairs. He was upstairs. She heard a thud. She went upstairs. He was there dead. He had a heart attack and died. 36 years old, ladies and gentlemen. And certain people in my family say, well, that's because he was on Ritalin. There's millions of people on Ritalin. They don't have heart attacks.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, now that they have the vaccine, oh, hey, wait a minute. Now they got heart issues because they're on Ritalin. Something's not adding up to me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying that he died from the COVID-19 vaccine, but it certainly looks to me like it was a direct result from him getting the COVID-19 vaccine. It didn't work well with his medication that he was on to control his ADHD. That's just my opinion. I have no facts to back that up, just my thoughts. But, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So Ritalin, or more appropriately, methylphenidate hydrochloride, has been getting prescribed for at least over 30 years that I'm aware of. I think it's probably more like 40. It is, yeah, a stimulant, but it's not a heavy-duty stimulant. It's not like doing a shot of cocaine or anything. There is a little bit of a heart rate increase, but, you know, if that was the cause of all these heart issues in young people, how come we didn't see that number, you know, prior to the vaccine? You know, that seems a little odd, but they're gonna blame it on that, you know. The Babylon Bee, which is a satire site, they recently ran an article that the headline, they had a picture of a dead elephant, and it said, giant elephant in the room dies of sudden elephant death syndrome. You know, and what a perfect way to kind of summarize what's going on. You know, all of a sudden we've got these cardiac deaths that are spiraling out of control. And everybody's just looking around like, yeah, no idea what you know could have led to this sudden surge. I can't think of anything that was, you know, suddenly implemented on a wide scale that might be the only, you know, variable outside the norm, whatever. You know, in my family, in our extended family, we had someone that that we were close with that, you know, she was 48 years old, active, energetic, in good health. And, you know, she 2 days after getting vaccinated, suddenly started coughing, headache, low energy, not feeling good. It just got progressively worse throughout the day. She went to the hospital that night, ended up staying there, continued to get worse, and ended up eventually going into a coma. They more or less had her on life support for about a month. And then she just started going through unexplained organ failure, different organs, until eventually she did die. And they were doing test after test after test. They moved her to a different hospital, could not figure out what was going on, what was driving the organ failure, and ultimately her death got listed as unknown cause. Again,
I did ask you if she was treated with remdesivir, and you did not have any knowledge to that effect. So we can't really put that cause together, you know.
But, I mean, it's just, you know, what was it that we talked about this on the show recently? In Alberta, Canada, unknown cause has become the leading cause of death after a 643% increase over the previous year. Again, is there any common denominator? Can we think of anything that may have been implemented on a wide scale that would lead to such a surge? It's an elephant in the room, but it's sad stuff. And I am a part of multiple groups now on Facebook, Died Suddenly News, and there's a few different forms of it. And it's people sharing stories just like that of people in their life who suddenly, unexpectedly died that were otherwise healthy. And the one common denominator they all have is that the complications leading to their demise started occurring right after vaccination. So, you know, I think eventually that this is getting out there. We know that the data's out there. Pfizer's been releasing the data on their clinical trials, or their all the data they had prior to getting to approval. And, you know, they're releasing that, what, like 55,000 pages a month or something like that. And there's people pouring through it, but it's not getting any media coverage. So the truth is slowly getting out. But who knows what that truth, you know, what it's going to hold for us all, because that's obviously a whole lot of data that people have to go through in order to start releasing that information. And then you're not going to get it from mainstream sources. You're going to get it through independent journalists that have some sort of ability to communicate outside the mess. It's a mess. I think we all know now. We're starting, you know, the curtain's been pulled back, and we're starting to see the wizard for what he is. That's just kind of how I feel.
Well, and just I want people to remember, when you see fact checker, you think, you know, okay, that's an official person that's fact checking misinformation or disinformation. Let me first remind you, misinformation and disinformation did not come out. You never heard that term until COVID-19 came out. And as soon as COVID-19 came out, all of a sudden the media and the politicians were talking about misinformation and disinformation. Never in our lives have we heard those two terms. Then before that, though, they had the fact checkers. Who's your fact checkers? They're partisan hacks. They're people that are being funded by the very people that are lying to you. Okay, just like the you know, trust in the science. Why did you get your vaccine? Because I trust in the science. Oh, you trust in what science? The science that is getting funded by the United States government and by the corrupt people that are poisoning you, Big Pharma? That's the science you're trusting? Because that's exactly what it is, whether you want to believe me or not. You want to trust in the science? Then you would hear every single opinion and hypothesis on every single matter, not just what you would think or what you believe in or what you've heard. That's where I've changed my whole, all of my views, politically, fact checkers, science, all of it. I've changed my 180 on how I used to believe in things. I used to watch every single news article there was, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, CBC, NBC, you name it, I watched it because I wanted to hear all sides of the story. And I'd base and form my opinion on what they said. And I thought, I know I'm a well-informed guy because I watch everything. I read headlines and I read articles and look at me. Look at me go. I'm superior to you because I have the time to read it and they're telling me exactly what they want me to know. No, they're telling me exactly how they want me to think. That's what they were doing. And I caught them. I caught them in all of their lies through even when Trump was still president. And I hated Trump. I despised Donald Trump. I thought Donald Trump was the lowest form of scum that there ever was. And then all of a sudden, I started seeing some discrepancies in some of the media stories. Well, he said that, but he didn't really say that way. It wasn't in context. I'm like, holy shit. This is a smear campaign against a sitting United States president.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, it's a smear campaign mm-hmm. toward anybody that doesn't agree with the mainstream media's agenda or narrative.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started speaking up against that is when my social media accounts started getting banned. I got banned off of Facebook the first time as we were planning the People's Convoy back of March of last year, or February of last year. I just got banned off of Facebook again for the second time last week, or this week, actually. Was it Sunday? It was. And I texted Daryl. I said, Daryl, I just got banned off Facebook.
It was Sunday.
I've been banned off of TikTok 8 times. I'm on my ninth account there, and I'm pretty low-key right now. But I'll ramp it up because I know I'm going to get kicked off anyway. Might as well get out the information I can while I can. But I'll get banned for my night time.
I have a quick...
But, yep, go ahead, Annette.
Just to go back to the Sigma X thing, I was kind of right. It's an equation. And the Sigma X is, to find it, it's like the square difference of each value of a data set. And the mean and add up to those values. So then you divide the total number of values and take the square root. So in other words, what you read in that article, it represents the sum of all scores present in the population. The N in the equation represents the total number of individuals or cases in the population. So it was pretty on point there.
So a 7 plus sigma is a very bad thing.
Right.
Yes.
So the higher the number and the sigma of the sigma, the more multiples, like I was trying to describe, the more multiples of the population of the people.
It's been affected.
So if normal is 1,
bad.
And you have sigma X whatever, that just tells you how many.
Yeah.
But you,
so, yeah, that was sigma X7.
But you see how okay, and I'm going to go with your example that you did. When you were saying, because you and I, we had this talk, when you're saying about Trump, because I like Trump, you know, his policies were on mark. He has done things, more things than any other president has done. He has done things, and I know I'm going to hear from some of these people, oh, he didn't do anything for black people. Yes, he did. You know what? Quit listening to media. One thing I will say is this. You know, he gave a lot of money to black colleges, and what did Biden do? He took over half of it away. But then they had the nerve to put Biden in front of a black college. You know what? And then, like you said that, you know, at first you didn't like Trump because the things that the media was saying. But then after a while, you started painting things together on your own. It's like, wait a minute. You know what? This man is not as bad as they're saying, because they're saying he said this, but he did not. They use pieces of what he said, or they just completely just lie about what he says, or, again, they don't mention all the good stuff that he was doing. I ain't saying the man's perfect, because he ain't, because we're human beings. But that technique that they're using, they use the same thing that, you know, that you fell for and a lot of people have fell for. The thing is, though, you were smart enough to see it for yourself, to recognize it, and say, you know what, I'm no longer going to be a sheep. That's what people
Amen.
Have to start doing. And the thing is, like I will tell people, you look at our leadership. Our leadership right now sucks. A lot of these people are in leadership, they don't lead, and that's the problem. They don't lead about anything because they don't want. They want to keep all of us stupid and dumb, and in that way, we don't have to worry about what they're doing. They can go just like Kama Lama Lama Lama. She sat up there and she's supposed to quote unquote be taking care of the border, but what does she does? She doesn't do anything. She talks about going to Europe or some other crap, and then goes someplace else, and she doesn't go there. But now they're trying to say, well, let's give her some more responsibility. She can't even take the responsibility that she has. But then you have people that sit back and say, oh, she's doing a good job. What? What? Open up your – it just seems like people are so scared to open up their minds and say, you know what, here's the truth, and I've been bullshitted this whole time. You know what? It's not – it doesn't hurt to say that. It doesn't hurt to say, you know what, I got fooled, but you ain't going to fool me again. You know, so that's why we're in this mess that we're in. Our leadership sucks because no one wants to stand. Our leadership don't want to stand up and say, you know what, folks, it's time for us to start being transparent. What's going on? You know, I think Biden will have some credit if he said, you know what, we just totally screwed up everything. But you know what, we're going to try to fix it. Do they say that? No. That's the same thing with the media. The same thing with these hospitals, because you got doctors. Doctors want to do their job. They want to tell people, hey, this is what's ailing you. But the problem is, if they did that, you have the hospitals. They're like, if you say anything, we're going to fire you, and then we're going to make sure you don't work anywhere else. So they're going to throw
California
that fear tactics in.
California is currently trying to pass legislation that states that if you – As a physician, spread misinformation or go against what the California government says is the correct medical information. If you go against that, you lose your medical license as a physician in California.
What words should start alarming people? Let's see, that word called California. Anything that comes out of California is It has no common sense. That's why you have all these people leaving California, and they're going to these red states, and they're trying to pass California law, and everything that California stands for is ridiculous. It's against American. It's against America. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want you know, Daryl. The thing is I know that you voted for Biden in 2020, and here's why I know that you voted for Biden in 2020. Because when you listen to Biden speak, listen, you're going
to
hear me out here, and you're going to agree with me, and then you're going to tell the audience why you voted for Biden. Because you heard him speak, and when he told the audience that if you're unsure of whether to vote for Joe Biden or Trump, then you aren't black. That's what he actually said, Joe Biden said.
Oh, you did not go. Oh, last time I saw.
Yeah, I went
boy,
there.
You trying to?
I went there.
You trying to fire me up, aren't you? You trying, boy?
Yeah,
look, okay. I'll tell you what. Okay, since we went on this one, and this is for Biden and all you other Biden lovers that does all this craziness. I didn't vote for the man, and guess what? I'm still black. You know what? And I will not vote for him. Because I think he is the weakest president that we ever have. And his administration, I'm not going to say they're just weak. They're just freaking evil, period. I don't even see how anybody would have voted this man in. But, you know, wait a minute. I do see that. Because the reason I see that is because we have the same crap going on here in Colorado right now. You don't see we have five people that's going for governor, and you only hear about two, and that's it. And most of them, the one – she's kind of quiet. The other one, he has a debate with himself. And until then, I wonder, how did Biden get elected? Well, there you go. You know, it's just,
well, let me,
all this ties.
Let me remind you of something, too, Daryl.
Uh-huh.
I want to remind you that because you seem like an articulate and a bright and clean black man. You, you know where I'm going with this. In 2007, Joe Biden said, as he was referring to Barack Obama, he's the first mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean. The first.
That,
in 2007.
You know,
I know we're kind of
got
off the subject point here, but we kind of got on it, so I had to go there.
Biden, he's a freaking bigot. I don't care what anybody says. You look what he stood for. You look what he doesn't want his kids. What the heck is up?
We moved past the seriousness of the radio show talking about vaccine injuries and deaths to do what we do best, is go on our rants and raves about people that we dislike and bringing out the truth about things that they've said. And it's important. And honestly, before we go on to that, Daryl, I just want to take 1 second because it's not a joking matter about the vaccine injuries and deaths. But I can see that there's not a lot of audience participation tonight, and that could be because they don't want to have their name or their face, or not their face, but their name or their voice out there, or their phone number out there. And I can certainly respect that. You don't want to get ridiculed.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're listening in. But I want to thank Annette for coming on and being brave enough to come on live on air and sharing her story. And for that, Annette, I thank you. And I just want you to know that we appreciate you coming on here live and uncensored and sharing your story.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you for joining us,
brave.
Annette, tonight.
That's
brave of her. I'll keep Daryl on because we're going to kind of move on to a different subject right now because of the lack of participation from the audience, which is fine. Again, I completely understand. So, Annette, thank you again for joining us. And
you're
I
welcome,
you
and I have some homework for you.
Yes.
I have homework for you, and the homework is to do your little research that you normally do. Go and research all of the big pharma CEOs, and you will see how they either have a connection to the government or a relative or a spouse is connected to someone directly in the government.
Yep.
That is 100% a fact. Yep, that's 100% a fact. And thank you for bringing that up. It's something the audience needs to hear. And quit being lazy and go do your research. Take an hour out of your day every night just to research. So, Annette, thank you again for joining us, and we wish you the best. God bless you, and if you ever want to come on air again, just get a hold of Daryl, and he'll give you my phone number, and you're welcome to come on air anytime if something else develops.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, have a good night.
Thanks for that.
All right, everybody, that was Annette. We appreciate her coming on air. Because the reason I kind of let her off air there is because we're kind of going off onto a different subject that doesn't involve her, and I don't want her story to be diminished by us going off into a different rant. So that's why I interrupted us having our little fun there. And we'll get back to the fun now. But and by the way, next Thursday, Daryl is graciously going to join us again, and we're going to have a complete different show next week. We're not going to be talking about vaccine injuries or deaths or anything like that. Next week, we're going to talk about the state of our country, and there's going to be at least 2 hours, if not three, of me, Chris, and Daryl getting heavily vested into what's really happening with politics, media, and our country in general. And you're going to want to join that one next week, too. But the last half hour we got on tonight, we're going to have a little fun. And we're just going to let Daryl
and Chris and myself, we're just going to be a little raw and uncensored. So I hope you enjoy it. So let's get back to the conversation of what Donald Trump said about, what did Donald Trump say? Oh, I know what he said.
He said a lot of things.
Something about Obama. Back in 1977, Trump said that enforced busing to desegregate schools. No, this is Trump. That forced busing to desegregate schools would cause his children to grow up in a racial jungle. Donald Trump said that back in 1977. Oh, no, I got the wrong article. That is Joe Biden. Yeah.
Thank you.
Forced busing to desegregate schools would cause his children to grow up in a racial jungle. And he's talking about his children, Bo, who, by the way, passed away from brain cancer. He did not pass away in Iraq, like Joe Biden said on Wednesday. His son actually did die of brain cancer, and I'll be the first one to say it. I hope he rests in peace.
Yep.
If he wasn't crooked like his dad and his brother Hunter. But Hunter Biden is, Joe said, he's been clean for 2 years. There's a recent video out. I don't know when it was took. He was naked going down a water slide in front of, between him and Antonio Brown. I'm pretty entertained with their videos that they take when they're all fucked up and they're throwing their wieners out and having a wiener sausage party and sniffing cocaine and weighing crack and handing out free crack pipes. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? It's pretty crazy, isn't it, man? Did you go away, Harold?
When he said he's been clean for 2 years,
I'm here.
He meant, like, washed.
He hasn't spilt any crack onto his crotch or lap? I don't know.
I mean, you got to shower before you go down a water slide, so he's clean.
Some people do.
What did he say? What did Joe Biden say about white kids? And
I got you on this one. He said that poor kids are just as can't be just as smart as white kids.
Yeah, poor kids can be just as smart and just as talented. No, white kids could be just as poor or just as smart and just as talented
as poor kids. It was poor kids.
Yeah.
Poor kids can be smart and talented as white kids, basically saying, that white kids are smart and poor kids are not white.
Right.
That's just,
and if you're not
that's
white,
plain retarded.
You don't know who you're voting for. Yeah.
Yeah. I
don't know. Daryl, what do you think about all this shit?
Okay, here we come. You ready for the roller coaster? I hope you're in your seatbelt. Look, that man, I don't see how Trump has done well for black folks, but for some strange reason, we got black folks they're jumping on Biden's bandwagon because he sat up there and said the N-word on the floor. He made laws, the three-strike law, put more black folks in jail than anybody. Like you said, he said his thing about his kids not going to school with ethnic people because he don't want them going around them. He sits back and says, well, if you don't vote for me, then you're not black. And then that BS of you're going to have you all in chains. I'm like, I'm listening to these people. I'm like, are you freaking serious? And then he sits up and says, well, black people don't know how to use a computer. Black people don't know how to get an ID. Or black people don't know how to get a driver's license. And then we have all our black representatives back there, and that's on both sides of the aisle. They don't correct the man. But for some reason, they're talking about he's a great uniter, and he's sitting back and uniting everybody. That man didn't do a damn thing, and I don't get it. I don't get BLM. They are a farce. But yet, we got everybody clapping their hands for him and giving money to him, which later on, Candace, through her report, found out that BLM, other than they're doing crazy stuff like hookers and other things and not giving anything to the black population. You know, at BLM, they got all this real estate. I haven't seen them taught any minorities how to sit back and say, hey, this is how you do real estate. Let's see. Let's burn down all the minority let's burn down all the minority neighborhoods and let's burn down our businesses. But then they don't turn around and say, you know what? Let's help you get back on your feet. Let's help you do this. No. You know, it just irritates me that these people are backing up behind. And you have Kamala Lama. She put away more black men than any of her white predecessors. But then we have people sit behind her and clapping her on. And most, and some of these guys were innocent, and she didn't want to let them out. I don't get
it. You brought up a really good point, two points, actually. Number one, Breonna Taylor from Kentucky and George Floyd from Minneapolis. Their families have received $0 from the organization of Black Lives Matter. You know how many millions of dollars that Black Lives Matter raised because of the tragedy with Breonna Taylor and the death of George Floyd? And you'll notice me say the tragedy with Breonna Taylor and the death of George Floyd, because that's the way
yep.
I choose to describe both those incidences. Black Lives Matter took in millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars for those two incidences alone, not to mention, the Ferguson, Missouri case and numerous other ones. There's been a lot of cases I've watched throughout the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years involving black people being shot. Walter Scott, let's bring that one up. Walter Scott was pulled over for a broken
yep.
taillight. He had a warrant for $50, what was it, a child support or some bullshit. He took off
child
running.
Support.
He didn't threaten the cops. He just took off running. Cop took chase, shot him in the back, I don't know what it was, 3 times in the park, killed him. Now I'll agree with the whole narrative or the whole agenda where that was an overzealous cop. That cop ended up he did get 20 years, by the way. That was a wrongful shooting.
Good.
Another one, Sandra Bland, she was pulled over for, what was it, speeding ticket or something like that, and she refused
mm-hmm.
to put out her cigarette. Got a little mouthy with the cops, ended up in jail, and they say she hung herself. I don't buy that story or that narrative either. Sandra Bland mm-hmm. is one of those. Another one was Philando Castillo up in the Minneapolis area. He told the cop he was a concealed carry permit holder. His girlfriend, Diamond, whatever the hell her name was with him. He reaches for his mental counsel when the cop asks him for his
yep.
ID and his registration. And as soon as he goes for it, the cop says, don't reach for your gun. After he told him he's a concealed carry permit holder, after he tells him to
yep.
grab his ID and shoots Philando Castillo dead right there on the spot while his girlfriend
mm-hmm.
video records the aftermath. You know what? There are cases. I'm not going to deny the fact that there are cases of wrongful police shooting. There is no doubt
yes.
about it in my mind.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, Michael Brown, George Floyd, those are two cases that Black Lives Matter should have stayed out of, and anybody that supported Black Lives Matter should have backed off of right there and said, George Floyd, now let me just get into that for just 2 seconds. Did he deserve mm-hmm. to have a cop kneel on his neck for fucking 8 or 9 minutes? No.
No.
Should he have complied when they were getting into the back of the police car? I've got, what did he say? He didn't like tight places. But so he
yeah.
was kind of resisting. Was it, it was a fucked up situation. There's no doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen. But let's not make George Floyd the martyr for people like
mm-hmm.
Walter Scott or Sandra Bland, or Philando Castillo, because they deserve better than that. Those people were innocent of minor crimes they committed. Minor. They didn't deserve the loser death, life over. And there's numerous other ones out there that I'm not mentioning their names because I can't store all that in the single file cabinet that I have in my head.
Those are just three of the names that I know. Michael Brown, that one. How the fuck you guys get behind that and cheer that on? And, well, that was a cop shot a black guy. Forensic science shows that he went back after the cop, after he hit him so hard he knocked his fucking eyeball out of his eye socket. What do you want the cop to do? Scream, demand him that he stops? He didn't stop the first time. The cop, what was his name? Darren, whatever, a smaller guy. He got brutally attacked for that. Like he was some sort of racist. That Michael Brown was not a good person either. Now, I don't wish death on anybody, ladies and gentlemen, nobody. But you have to disseminate between stories here. You have to understand that not every situation is equal to the same kind of outrage. It's just not. Every situation is different. You have to... Chris, what do you think about all this? I mean, we get into a whole shitload of topics in one show, but Chris, go ahead.
A lot of it's the media. And the problem is the media's goal is to divide and profit. So they use the racial issue, which also is a Marxist goal of how to divide the country.
Yep.
And facts just go to the wayside. It doesn't matter. If it supports the narrative that there is systemic racism, anytime it is white versus black, they are going to demonize the white person while glorifying the black person. And so what ends up happening is you get people that just assume that every story like that is bullshit. And they assume that because of the Ferguson case, the hands up, don't shoot, when in actuality, he was trying to take the officer's gun. And that overshadows then the legitimacy of the other cases that are just blatantly wrong. Diallo Amadou up in New York City, for example, Freddie Gray. Eric Garner up in New York City convicted, basically was being arrested for selling loose cigarettes, single cigarettes.
Eric Garner, I think, is his name.
Eric Garner, thank you. And that's what happens is when you turn every story into this sensational thing, you basically take away from the validity of the stories that are legitimate, and people stop trusting any of those stories, and it creates division. It just creates more division, which helps the Marxist organizations like Black Lives Matter, and it helps the whatever you want to call them, the deep state, the globalists, the World Economic Forum, the George Soroses of the world, who's trying desperately to divide and polarize this country to the point that we collapse into total anarchy, so that they can sweep in and, restore order overall, I guess you could say.
Yeah, one world order. Yep. Hey, by the way, if you guys are listening to this radio show, and no matter what the topic is, whether it be vaccine injuries, deaths, you have a story you'd like to share, racism, whatever the topic we're talking about, if you want to weigh in on any of it, you're more than welcome. And we have a guest call-in number, and that guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. Now, I want you to go grab your pen and paper real quick, so I can repeat that number to you, or just type it into your phone as you're going to call. And when you call and you get through, just press number one. If you are through, press the number one. It lets my switchboard know that you have something to say. We'll bring you live on air. And you can have any opinion you want, even if it's against what we have, as long as you're respectful. And that phone number, again, is 516-387-1733. Everybody is welcome to share their opinion. Oh, I do see that we have a caller.
Let me just grab that caller, Daryl, before we get to your opinion on that whole matter. 7450, I'm going to bring you on air with us right now. If your number ends in 7450, you are on the air of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And what would you like to add to the conversation tonight?
Well, number one, I just want to say hello, Chris and Sandy. How you doing, man? It's been a while. You've been telling me to call in for, what, 2 years now, and I figure I might as well do it.
What's going on?
You know, not much. I was honestly just listening to you guys for a little bit. I actually was sitting in queue forever here, but I didn't know about that press one thing, so I just was sitting here and listening to it on my phone. You know, honestly, I agree with a lot of what you guys were talking about throughout most of this. I know that might surprise you, Chris. I suppose I had the only things I would have to add to what you were saying was I don't know that I fully subscribe to Chris's theory that it's all a plot to overthrow the United States and rebuild it in their own image, so to speak. But I do firmly believe that our media is politically driven and is meant to keep us arguing, whether it be, you know, black on white, you know, left on right, whatever you're trying to do with it, the longer they keep us arguing with one another, the more divided and the less we're paying attention to what they're doing as a general population. Now, obviously there's going to be people that are in fact paying attention, and I'm probably not one of them half the time. As far as what you were just talking about, as far as the police violence in these cases, for the most part, I do completely agree with what you had to say. I think that part of the problem here, and as you were saying about it being politically driven or media driven rather, is that they were able to build on the fact that for, I don't know, let's just say 100 years or so, there were no ramifications. And unfortunately, some of those very justifiable, or not justifiable, but some of those obscenely unjustifiable shootings that you mentioned happened before there was the platform that these people are currently exploiting to do. And George Floyd just happened to be the tipping point, so to speak. Does that make any sense whatsoever, or did I explain that poorly?
George Floyd was very heavily, well, here's why George Floyd was very heavily covered by the media. Because there was video of what was going on from the start to the end, and mm-hmm. you know, it tugged on people's heartstrings when he, right before he passed, he said, "Mama," you know, that got the liberals. They're like, "Oh my God, look what they did to him!" They forgot about everything that happened prior, those 8 minutes prior. They forgot about every single thing that happened up until that point when he said, "Mama." They just killed a baby in their eyes. Oh, my God, they just killed a baby. Oh, my God. Meanwhile, the left pushes for, what do they push for? Well, they push for abortions. They push for killing babies. But when you say that you're killing a baby, or you think they think that you're killing a baby, a live one that they can see that's black, all of a sudden, holy shit, they have a heart. Now, if they went back 8 minutes from the very beginning of this, from step one, it's basically like the trial out in Kenosha when what's his name went in there with the AR-15 to protect a business, and you know,
Rittenhouse.
Yeah, Rittenhouse. Yeah, he's no hero. He should have. He crossed state lines with a weapon, and he shouldn't have had. Okay. Let's get back to the start of everything. Everything has a beginning. Now let's walk through step by step what happened with George Floyd and with Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse lived 15 miles from where he was at. Yes, across state lines. But his father and grandparents and numerous relatives lived in Kenosha. He went there that night because he worked in Kenosha. He volunteered in Kenosha. Earlier that day, he was volunteering cleaning graffiti off the walls because of Black Lives Matter spraying their shit all over public property because they claimed that there was what? Oh, that's right. What was it? Oh, that the guy that got shot in the, from the cops that was resisting arrest. That's what
Jay
he was like.
I can't
another...
remember what his name was, but yeah, that guy was one of the ones that
Jacob Blake.
That was
yes.
one of the ones that doesn't deserve a dime. Let's put it that way. He survived it, but
yes,
that
Jacob
was
Blake.
Ridiculous.
He's paralyzed.
But that's
another instance, though. Yes, that's another instance of a justified shooting. Now everybody says, "Well, you're a police officer. You don't need to shoot people." Listen, motherfucker, until you're out there doing their job, and you're protecting the community from these thugs and these animals, whether they're white, black, green, or yellow, I'll call them animals. Until you're out there willing to do their job, you shut the fuck up on what they're allowed to use or not. And if you don't like it, I don't give two shits of if you don't like my opinion. Yes, I get a little heated on this show, and that's because I'm tired of this woke culture thinking that they're going to – this silent majority of us that don't stand up and we don't defend our police officers and numerous other people from this woke mob that are loud, they're obnoxious, and they're unrealistic because none of them have the balls enough to stand up and do what a police officer does. Now, are there bad police
that's
officers?
Right.
Yes. There are absolute, but we need to hold them accountable when they do something wrong. I agree with that. But you don't attack a whole fucking police division because you don't like that somebody got hurt. That was breaking the law when they should have just listened and took it to court. And if you don't think the court system works, then you have a whole other fight on your hand. You need to stand up and you need to be an advocate for a revamp of the whole justice system if you don't think the justice system works. You don't say defund the police, the very people that are protecting you from these evil people. You don't say we need gun control. What's gun control going to do for a criminal? They don't give a shit about your laws, obviously. You know what gun control does? It restricts legal gun ownership. Now, we get back to George Floyd. At the beginning of that arrest, the police were there because he was accused of passing a $20 fake bill. They tried to place him under arrest. He was obviously high on something. He had claustrophobia, what he said. He didn't want to get in the back of the police car, so he struggled with them. He's a big boy. Now, when you start struggling like that and you don't adhere to commands, now, regardless, we could all of us can sit back and be an armchair Monday morning quarterback and say, hey, yeah, he shouldn't have done that or he could have handled it a different way. When you're in that situation as a police officer and the shit that you see as a police officer, everything is so unpredictable when you're dealing with a criminal. Everything. Because a criminal is not looking to comply. A criminal is looking to get away and get out of the situation. They don't want to be arrested. That's what happened with George Floyd. An unfortunate circumstance and an unfortunate result of that. So I apologize for going off on a rant there, but sometimes I just get, oh, shit.
No,
but
I mean,
back to the caller. You know, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cross-talk you there. That was a justifiable rant, and I think our wording may be a little bit different when we describe that, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. The man was clearly resisting. But at the end of the day, I don't know what everybody's position on that, even if he was resisting, and I think I heard you say it earlier, what happened at the end result was completely wrong and inappropriate. There was no need for the knee to be on the neck for that long.
Well, everybody who's a
– let's be honest.
Because I'm an ex-police officer. And you know what? When we go to that part and, everyone who's a police officer and who used to be a police officer, who retired as a police officer, they looked at that and they're like, you know what? That was freaking wrong. Everybody knew that was wrong. I don't care what the media say. Everyone who was in law enforcement knew how he had his knee on his neck was wrong, and for the amount of time that he had it all there. But at the same time, for some reason, we always make it seem like this person was totally innocent, which we know he wasn't innocent. He had a rap sheet 10 miles long. Then also at the end, I don't like it when they play on people's heartstrings, because then all of a sudden you bring a picture that's 20 years ago, later, earlier, and, well, he was such a good person. Well, to a point being, you can't ignore what he did was wrong. it got him in that situation. The end of it, how it turns out, it sucked. No one wanted that. And it's sorry that it came to that. But at the same time, you know what? When do we sit up and start taking accountabilities for our own damn actions? We always got to place it on somebody else every single time. Oh, it's that person's fault. It's that person's fault. That's a bunch of BS. You know, think tragic things happen. Unfortunately, that was tragic. And then also, you know, when we're talking about Black Lives Matter. So, okay, why is it that when these people die, but we got kids dying, especially in Chicago, and on 12/3/21, over 1,000 homicides in Cook County in Chicago for 2021, and you know a lot of them were kids. So where's Black Lives Matter with the name of these kids? Where, matter of fact, if you go further than that, where's the NBA and the NFL players with these kids' name on? No, we don't do that because that goes against the agenda. You know, they sit back and talk about, well, a white man killed a black man. Okay, we're killing ourselves off all the higher than any other time right now, higher than any other time. And what do? We turn around and look at the white person and blame them when we can't even clean up our own damn shit. You got Chicago.
Right.
Look at that. Let's go to Obama. Let's go to him. You know what? He came from Chicago. What the fuck did he do for those kids in Chicago? Not a daggone thing. But do we have anybody sitting up there saying anything about it? Ooh, we can't say that. That's taboo. Malcolm X stood up there and said, any black person that is in the Democratic Party is not there for black people. And you look at every single Democratic person that is running, they are in charge of their town, and look at their town. Look at what's going on. They don't even live there, and they don't do anything. And now that's on both sides of the aisle. But we don't call each other out because we got too many black folks who are saying, well, you know what, if a white person calls us out, then no, they won't do that now because everything is prejudice. You know,
they're racist.
Friend of mine was, you know, I'm sick and tired of these people talking about prejudice. You know what, when my mom, my grandmother had 25 kids, two sets of twins died, and I got the newspaper to prove it, folks. You know what, when my mom was growing up, only job that she can have was working in the daggone field. She couldn't work at a grocery store. She couldn't work at a convenience store. She couldn't work at a gas station. She couldn't work at anything. But you know what?
Between and is that my fault, Daryl? Is that my fault or Chris's fault?
Daggone straight is not your fault because, you know, it's not your
exactly.
fault. You know,
exactly. Exactly.
My thing is when you sit back there and you talk about, well, the white man did this, I'm like, wait a minute. Way back in the day, I could see that talking from my mom's generation down. Okay, yes, but now, no. You know what? They're just being freaking lazy. I'm getting sick and tired of them always blaming a white man. Everything is prejudice. But now you got everybody doing, well, because I disagree with you, I'm prejudiced. Please call me prejudiced, because I'll look at you and I say, what did your grandmother do? What did she have 23 kids and did she have to work out in the field? That's the only job she can get? I bet not. So why are you sitting up there talking about prejudice? And then if we look at it now, we have more opportunity for us to advance than ever before. But what do? We sit down and do a handout. Or we call another black person that sits back and they achieve. They want to call them Uncle
we
Tom.
We want reparations for how our ancestors were treated.
You don't need reparations.
For how your ancestors were treated? Guess what? I wasn't there. You weren't there. So now you want me to pay you for something that neither one of us had any involvement in.
And
holy shit.
Wait a minute. I could have sworn the person that was trying to set black people free. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me think. It was a white man?
Ooh, no, he was a white Republican.
Oh, my gosh. But he was white. And then Underground Railroad. You're going to tell me that one white person died helping black people on Underground Railroad? That white people hasn't got hung because they helped black people? But you got people sitting up here. No one wants to do their history. And that's what irritates the hell out of me. They would sit back instead of saying, you know what? I want to go ahead. I don't want to depend on the government no more. Screw this. I want to have my own paycheck.
Boy, are we going to
sit up there and do my own
next
thing.
Week, aren't we? Hey, by the way, I wanted to just let everybody know, I muted the caller, and I apologize. Thank you for calling in, by the way, if I see you're still on. I muted you because there was some background noise. Nothing against you, just wanted to keep the show moving without the interference. No big deal, just so you know you're muted. Thank you for your call. If you want to call in next week, you're more than welcome. Anytime we have background noise, I try to get rid of that so we don't disrupt the show and what everybody else is saying. And oh man, we really we started out tonight with one thing, and then I think Nolan Ryan was in the room and he threw us a fastball and we missed it and we swung around a 180 and we started talking about other shit. But you know what? That's okay. That's the beautiful thing about having an uncensored radio show. We can talk about whatever we want. And the things that we discussed tonight are they controversial? Absolutely. Everybody's very sensitive about the feelings they feel about every topic that we talked about tonight. But you know what? It's a conversation that needs to be had. And like I said before, if you're listening and you want to talk and you want to add your 2 cents, your feelings on it, you're welcome to. Even if it doesn't match with what ours are, as long as you're not disrespectful. You know, we've had people get on here, you're an asshole, you're a piece of shit. No, we're not going to do that because we wouldn't do that to you. You could share your opinion, your thoughts and your opinion, but we're going to tell you why you're wrong.
Yep.
I mean, just ask Chris. Chris is our expert. Chris is a radio show expert. What do you think, Chris? I mean, the stuff that we talk about on this show, if even half the population would just get involved in the conversation, do you think we could ever get, you know, maybe some kind of a middle ground, Chris? Or do you think that we're so far gone now and we're so divided now that it's just, we're just going to talk what we're going to talk about and the opposition will never listen to us because they think we're idiots? What do you think, Chris?
I think there's lots of middle ground to be had. I think a lot of the people arguing on one particular side of the spectrum on all the social media conversations are actually bots and not real people. That kind of came to light, you know, with the whole Elon Musk Twitter thing when, you know, strange things started happening where all of a sudden all of your left-leaning talking heads, as soon as Elon Musk, you know, raised the issue of bots, all of a sudden they started losing massive numbers of followers. The theory is that Twitter was actually wiping out all the bots that they had out there. And so, yeah, I think there's middle ground. I think most people are actually reasonably in the middle. I think most people are either moderate left or moderate right. Most people are not wing nuts to either
Can
side.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second, Chris?
Yeah.
Just 1 second. You're just speaking about people's accounts getting wiped out. So within the last, since we started our show, I've lost 1,000 followers on Twitter. The other night I lost 600. So yeah, there's definitely some kind of cleanup going on, cleanup operation going on Twitter. I'm just going to check Cat Turd, his account. He was at 814 earlier. He's at 809 now. So he's lost 5,000 followers since we started. Because I went right to his, because he got purged last time too. So yeah, they're currently in a purge process in Twitter land. I just wanted people to be aware of that this is the shit that we have to go through as conservatives or patriots. Anybody that goes against the narrative, and I'm going to get right back to Chris here. I apologize for interrupting you, brother. But it goes back to, I've been banned on numerous social media platforms because people are like, well, you're too dumb to not shut up. No, I'm too proud and I won't shut up.
Thank you.
I refuse to shut up because I see what's wrong in this country, and social media should not dictate the First Amendment. They should not control the First Amendment, and they are. So fuck them. Go
Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Well, and I mean, that's a perfect example. And what it seems was going on, and this is one of the theories that's out there, is that we all know that that big tech came in heavy-handed against anyone that was right-leaning. They censored all the biggest, all your largest talking heads on the right. They just deplatformed them, booted them out, and then anybody who was going in and, you know, commenting or supporting right-leaning people, well, those people got the boot as well. So you were really only left with a really large pool of people supporting the left-wing agenda. Then they boosted the voices of the extreme left and artificially boosted them up with all these bots, these chat bots that would get in there pretending, posing to be real people. And in actuality, you were arguing with a computer. And that gives the illusion that there's like this 50-50 split, that 50% of the population is just this extreme radical left. And that's not actually the case. In actuality, the far left voices make up a very small percentage of the population. Most people do not believe that far left. And that's just a simple fact.
No, you're...
So if you take away all the theatrics and the manipulation of social media, what you find is there's actually just a whole lot of reasonable people out there that may disagree on this policy or that policy, but we have a lot more middle ground than we do anything else. So I think if we can ever solve our big tech corporatocracy problem, we can actually start getting a whole lot closer to talking middle ground.
Yeah, no, I agree. We've ran over our time. We like to keep it around 2 hours. We're at 2:07 now. But I always like to give Chris and I and whoever else is on, you know, 2-3 minutes of their final thoughts. So I'm going to start with Daryl for his final thoughts. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, Daryl. As soon as we take a one-minute break so you can collect your thoughts, what is it you want to recap about the show? Just give your two-three-minute final thought of, you know, how you felt about the experience on this show with Annette and the racial issues that we're talking about, all that stuff. And no holds barred. It's all completely uncensored. But we're going to do a one-minute break, just a quick ad from spot from our sponsors. And again, our sponsors sponsor the Unplugged 7 radio network. They don't necessarily believe or agree with our opinions or our subject matters. They are just sponsoring this radio network. So don't hold anything that we say against them and not buy their product, because they have wonderful product. So on that note, let me just get into that. In 1 minute, we will be back. We'll start with Daryl's final thoughts, and then Chris's, and then mine. All righty.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's both not new.
And here's one message from a new sponsor.
This message is to Joe Biden.
I'd like to shoot you in the ass with the BB gun. Lay there in the tall grass and laugh at what I'd done. Put a blood blister upon each bun. I'd like to shoot you in the ass with the BB gun.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, everybody. Yeah. So this is our final talk, and I thought about it while we're doing that minute break there for a second. Annette, if you're still listening, I see you're still on here. I'm going to add your mic back on, and I would appreciate if you would give your final thought, whether it be 30 seconds or 3 minutes. You're more than welcome to have that platform. We'll start with Daryl. I'm adding Annette's mic back on right now, so you are live again, Annette. Daryl, why don't you go ahead and give your final thoughts of the show, 2-3 minutes, and then we'll move on to Annette, and then Chris, and then myself. So go ahead, Daryl.
All right. I'm glad you have this show. We need more shows like that, just like Kevin Allen. He got a show. Man, we just got everybody that's, you know what, that love America. Look, I say things, you know what, I don't hardly have a filter. That's the thing. People want people to be able to talk to them straight up and have no BS. You know, I'm looking at my ethnic people, my minority people, my white people, my Asian people. I'm looking at everyone. And it's just like I don't like that we're busy arguing at each other. We shouldn't be doing this because that's what they want. They want us to argue and call each other racist. And way back in the day, like me and another guy were talking about, it wasn't this bad. Everybody, we could sit down and talk about things. You know what? When it comes down to our kids, we need to be able to talk to them. Not, you know, parents got to be parents. Yeah, and, you know, you got to love our police officers. You know, I'm in full support for the police officers because I understand what they do. I understand that they are a second behind the criminal. You know, we're playing catch up to the criminal. You know, and I just need people just start opening up and start thinking. And not be afraid to say what you have to say, because I think what it is, back then they had us being tolerant, and, well, you can't say this. You have to be PC. You can't say that. And I'm just like, no, I'm going to say it like I see it. If I'm gonna piss you off, I'm going to piss you off, but at least you know where I stand. You know, I don't stand to piss you off just because I don't like you. I do it because I do like you. And I want you to be able to achieve more. You know, that's why I'm running for government. You know, because government is made for ordinary people, business people, and ordinary people to be able to come up and help. And that's what we should do. You know, I don't like tyranny. I don't like people when they try to cut somebody off without them speaking, just like they're doing with Danielle, because she has very good ideas, which we'll talk about next week that we'll get into. But you know, it's just with all this stuff going on, COVID and all of this craziness, what I want from people is to get back to talking to each other and respect each other. You may not agree with what they have to say, but at least be respectful and be able to talk and go from there. That's what I like.
No, and
I appreciate you for
putting
me on this show.
I appreciate that too, Daryl, and again, we're going to have Daryl on next week, and we're going to get deeper into what we see wrong with this country on multiple levels. We touched a little bit on it tonight, but that's just a tip of the iceberg. So, Daryl, thank you again for joining us tonight, and good luck on your run for Lieutenant Governor of Colorado. Let's move right on to Annette. Annette, I want to give you an opportunity to give your final thoughts or anything that you'd like to say in closing before we end this episode of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
So my final thoughts regarding the vaccine, since that's what I was on to discuss, is that I'm not an anti-vaxxer by any means. I have all of my childhood immunizations, but my deal with it is that I don't think there was enough testing. I don't think that it was proving to combat COVID-19 by any means. All of our childhood immunizations work to prevent disease or illness. And I just wanted to let everyone know, you know, I'm not one of those people that's an anti-vaxxer. And I think it should be up to each individual person when something like this comes up, some sort of pandemic, it should be able to make their choice. And they should be able to speak to their doctor if they have some kind of underlying condition that it could compromise their health. I think that's why so many people died. I mean, I'm in the field. I see doctor's notes, what they write about patients every single day, and you start to see patterns after a while. And it doesn't take a genius to figure it out. You know, just like you said, you sit back and research. You're a truck driver, but you sit there and do your research. Well, I'm a medical coder, and I see patterns. I see patterns. And so I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but when you see with your own eyes things that are going on, then you tend to start believing. And that's my final thought.
Thank you, Annette. And by the way, thank you so much for joining us tonight and sharing, being brave enough to share your story live on air and uncensored. We do appreciate that, and we wish you the best. And again, you have an open invitation to ever come on here if you want to share your story again, or if something else transpires, or you come up with, you're a witness to another story that people need to know about. We need to get the truth out there, and fortunately enough for us, we have that platform. So, again, Annette, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we wish you well. And with that, Annette and Daryl's mic is off. We appreciate both of them so much for coming on. It's always good to get somebody else's perspective on anything that me and Chris talk about. So with that, geez, I got to catch my voice for a second. You know, you go over 2 hours and all of a sudden you lose your voice. So let me intro Chris's final thoughts.
Warning, warning, bullshitter alert. Bullshitter alert! Warning.
I'm just giving you shit. I just had to do it. Sorry, Chris. No, you're supposed to do that for me.
No, I have a vision. And I want us to have a roundtable discussion with Daryl and conservative Ant, and we shall call it the Knights of the Round Table. And I think it would be
you
glorious.
Know what? That's a good idea for another episode, dude. I might have to get a hold of Ann for this next one. I know Daryl wants to talk to Ann.
We got to do it, Daryl. And that's basically my final thoughts. I said all the other important shit earlier, so.
Oh, wow. That was a short one tonight. What's going on with you? You all right?
Tough week.
I got you, brother. Well, here's the intro to me, okay?
Asshole calling! Asshole calling! There's an asshole on the other end of the line. Answer it quick so you can talk to the big asshole!
And that's what every liberal calls the disrespected trucker. The asshole. The asshole calling. They seem to want to argue with me about everything. I posted on Twitter earlier that my son owns two AR-15s. He's 22 years old. Owns his own brand new Jeep. He owns his own home. He works a full-time job. He's been in a relationship for 3 years. And one of the liberals said, why does he need to own two AR-15s? And I said, because he can. Another lady said, why does anybody need to own any ARs? Because it's a constitutional right. I respect your First Amendment to your free speech. You need to respect my Second Amendment for the right to bear arms. That's what I'll say. As far as this radio show tonight, it was a phenomenal radio show for the simple fact that we had somebody that experienced in the medical field what they've gone through with a tyrannical government breaking every single aspect of the Constitution. And what really bothers me is that there doesn't seem to be anybody out there that is willing to stand up and fight against that. And if they are, they get silenced, or they get blackballed. They get thrown off in the corner, and they try to discredit them at all costs. And it works. And it's sad. It's a sad country that we live in. It's a sad world we live in. And the caller we had earlier, he didn't agree with certain things that Chris said about what they're trying to do to our country. That all goes back to the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab and the Agenda 2030, and these people are sick, and BlackRock is financing them. So is the group Vanguard. I've researched all this. These people are not good people, and they have more money than you and I will ever have in 3,000 lifetimes. And the reason they got that money is by doing what they're doing to the population right now. Brainwash, gaslighting, propaganda, you name it. They own everything. This didn't happen overnight. This has been happening for decades. They've slowly been taking over the media. They've slowly been putting and inserting their people into our institutions, all the way down to our school boards, into state governments, federal governments. Klaus Schwab has bragged about having 50% of parliament in Canada under his control. We have a problem in this world. It's not isolated in America. It's worldwide. And I know this is it's a deep thing for a lot of you to comprehend or to even think about and not say to yourself, oh, for fuck's sake, this guy's out of his mind. This is how deep they are. This is how much and how long they've worked at this. They are very powerful. They are very rich. And they are very controlling and manipulative, and they are the definition of a narcissist and a sociopath, every one of them. And they brainwash people to think that they're helping the goodness of humanity, when in all reality, the likes of George Soros and the likes of Klaus Schwab have ties back to Nazi Germany. Everybody thought that, oh, Nazi Germany's over with. That happened, that ended in the 40s. Nazi Germany did. But that mindset has continued on to today. And if you don't think they're influencing the far left with the Antifa and the BLM and financing those groups, you're dead wrong. But you stay tuned to this radio show every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time, and I guarantee you, you're going to get more truth. I promise you that. And we'll have more live guests, and we'll have more perspectives. And hopefully, after we're all done with this, whenever we're all done with this, you'll come away from this thanking us and saying, holy shit, you opened my eyes to a lot of things. Because trust me, my eyes have been opened. I am wide-eyed as we speak. So, in closing, as always, Chris, I appreciate you and everything that you do for the show and the perspective you bring. We are missing our producer, Kim, tonight. She's not feeling good. She's sick. She's gone through one hell of a ride the last couple months with personal issues at her home in Canada. And we wish her well, and we hope she gets well soon. Annette, thank you again for being brave enough to come on here live and uncensored and sharing your story. And Daryl, we will see you, not see you, but hear you next week as we completely change subjects and go right down the rabbit hole of what's really happening in this country and worldwide. And again, Daryl Gibbs is running for lieutenant governor in a state of the wonderful state of Colorado. I was just out there last year down at Colorado Springs and visited some of their local breweries and did a little sightseeing, and it's a beautiful state. I've been through there numerous times. But thank you to our guests tonight. And thank you, most of all, to our listeners for listening to what we have to say. And I beg you to share these radio shows out so we can get the truth out there uncensored. Social media shuts us down, especially me. They see the name Jeremy Johnson or the Disrespected Trucker. Red flags go up at headquarters. As a matter of fact, Facebook just raised a big, huge red flag at their headquarters this week as they booted me again for the second time. So that happens. But ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you all for listening and supporting us continuously. Amanda and Diane are loyal listeners from New York State. We love you very much, and thank you so much for the continued support and everybody else that tunes in every week. We need you. We love you. And God bless each and every one of you. You all have a great night, okay? See you next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central.